S1W50 season finale, Lost and Found. Penny watched in stunned silence as police officers escorted Charles to a police car. Her phone chirped and she glanced at the caller ID. "What do you want, Marcos?" she sniffed. "I don't have any money for you." Penny listened quietly as her brother spoke frantically on the phone. "Wait, Marcos, slow down," Penny exclaimed. She listened for several moments before speaking again. "No, I'm glad you called. I've been following the story all day." "Are you sure? Did she say where?" The climber finished his tale and glanced around the tunnel. "Well, that's the end," he sighed. A low rumble vibrated in the tunnel walls and everyone's stomach clenched. "What now?" The nurse grimaced. The rumbling stopped and was replaced with the sound of movement above them. "Look!" the old woman exclaimed as a figure appeared overhead. He flashed his strobe light into the hole and waved when he spotted them. The nurse and the old woman cried out in joy as all eyes met with their rescue team. "She did it!" the nurse exclaimed. "She did it!" This is Sydney Allen reporting live from the entrance of a sinkhole located in the eastern downtown section. 4 of 5 victims who were trapped underground in a derail train have been rescued by state and city rescue workers. One of the victims, an unidentified male, is in critical condition, having suffered massive wounds to his abdomen from fallen debris. For one unfortunate young man, help arrived too late, and emergency personnel pronounced him dead on the scene. While tragedy after tragedy unsettles the hearts of most in our city, our minds can't help but wonder, could these horrific incidents have been prevented? Mayor Bloom, we have questions. I can only hope you have answers. This is a mess. Mayor Bloom scowled as he turned off the television. Perry and the complainer sat in the room with him. "That entire press conference was a joke and that pesky reporter is making me look like a fool." The complainer chuckled and Mayor Bloom pounced. "I don't know why you're laughing, sir. You're just as deep in this as the rest of us, and I will not be implicated in a scandal." Mayor Bloom placed a cap on his head and grabbed his briefcase. "I'm taking my vacation. Perry, fix this, or you're fired." "Mayor Bloom, shouldn't you cancel your trip?" Perry exclaimed as he tugged on his collar. "The city is upside down." Mayor Bloom stared condescendingly before speaking. "Son, I have been the mayor in this town longer than any mayor before me. I have friends in every agency of this city, I have more money than you can count, and I have a flight to Aruba which I have delayed twice. This is my city. Email me in the morning with our official statement." Perry and the complainer watched the mayor leave the room. The complainer turned to Perry with a wry grin. "That guy only sings one tune, doesn't he?" Perry shook his head. "You have no idea." The complainer was silent for a long while. "I don't care for that tune. I think our city is ready for a new song." Perry snorted. "Please. Anyone who'd make a decent mayor is too afraid to run against him. The guy's untouchable. What if they didn't have to run against him?" The complainer pondered. "What do you mean?" Perry turned his head towards the complainer. "I mean, if the Justice Department were to have proof that the mayor has been mishandling the city's money, causing several deaths and millions of dollars in damage to the city, as well as a little racketeering on the side, someone else might have the opportunity to rise in his ashes." The complainer gave Perry a knowing glance. "Someone who knows the ins and outs of the system and stands for transparency and truth." Perry grinned. "Staging a coup would be risky. Someone would need legal counsel, and a liaison of sorts, to ensure that he has no ties to any illegal or inappropriate behavior regarding the mayor. Someone would be in luck, as I happen to be an excellent litigator. With a substantial retainer, of course." The complainer winked. "Mayor Jones?" Perry mused. "Has a nice ring to it." "Yes, it does."
I opened my eyes slowly and smiled as the nurse looked back at me. "You got out," I rasped. The nurse nodded and squeezed my hand. "Thanks to you." I looked past her to the old woman and climber standing beside her. They all looked tired, but clean. "How long have you all been here?" I asked. "Just a few minutes," the climber replied. "We came to visit you this morning, to tell you thank you," the old woman smiled. "Morning." I crinkled my brow. "How long was I asleep?" "You were in and out for 2 days, but you're going to be okay," the nurse reassured me. "You were severely dehydrated and had a concussion, but you should feel like yourself in a few days. Thank you for staying." The words seemed lame, considering all we'd been through together. A thought struck me. "I don't even know your names." "I'm Jane Truman, the old woman answered. I'm Zinnia. Gonzalez, the nurse smiled. Ryan Parker, the climber spoke softly. Simon Lowe's the other guy, but he's a weasel and you're better off not knowing him. Domingo Reyes didn't make it. He died in the tunnels, I frowned. Dreadlock didn't make it. I was too late. I couldn't stop the tears from falling. Ryan looked uncomfortable. Is that everyone? I sniffed. There's Chase Avery. Ryan's voice trailed off and he stared at the floor. I looked at all their faces, each one was staring back at me, eyes full of sincere concern, and something else. Then I knew. Where is he? I asked, dreading the answer. Where's my father? Where's Chase? Zinnia looked at Jane in confusion. She nodded and gestured towards me. For a moment they looked at each other, hesitant. Then Zinnia spoke. He lost a lot of blood, honey. I closed my eyes. He couldn't be dead, could he? Heavy footsteps followed by heavy breaths quickly entered the room. My throat constricted as I looked up. Miracle. Thank goodness you're okay. Oh God, he'd found me.